Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah.
This time we're going to be tackling Change the Box by John Spencer Taylor.
And you'll get to know him as Spence as you go through this book. He's,
Sams, yeah.
yeah, this is not your average business book, I gotta say. I mean,
Yeah.
Spence has this really interesting background. You know, he started in business intelligence and financial systems.
Okay.
And then in 2012, he co-founded this cybersecurity company called BrainGoo.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of initially hooked me on the book. Like, you can tell he's got that blend of the technical side,
Oh, yeah.
but then also like the real world business experience, you
Yeah.
know?
You know, it's not just like a bunch of, you know, theory and buzzwords. It's
Yeah.
like he's actually, you know, he walks you through BrainGoo's journey, especially their time in the Air Force's AFWERX accelerator
That's
program.
where CAC, that's a pretty big deal,
Oh,
because
yeah. It's
lots of
like
people like
the
from.
proving ground for cutting edge tech in the defense space.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sugarcoat it either. Like he talks about BrainGoo's early struggles. They were constantly innovating, but they lacked focus. You know, they went through layoffs, they had financial strain.
It makes you feel better as a listener
Oh,
that
yeah.
you're not the only one who struggles.
Exactly. And they even initially got rejected from AFWERX,
Oh, wow.
but that kind of fueled their determination.
I was going to say, I bet that lit a fire under them.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's really interesting to kind of see that,
Yeah.
you know, even the most successful companies have those messy
Right.
behind the scenes stories, you know.
It's refreshing to hear that honesty because so many business books are
Absolutely.
just like everything's perfect.
Yeah. And I mean, he even talks about, you know, having to shelve this promising product because a competitor beat them to market with an open source version.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine like how frustrating
Yeah.
that would be?
You've poured your heart and soul into it.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to make those tough
You
calls.
have to pivot.
You have to pivot exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, that resilience for Bringo, it paid off because they eventually landed a $12 million contract with AFWERX. He
Wow.
calls it a 10-year overnight
I
success.
love that. Yeah. That is a really good way to put it because, yeah.
There's no such thing as an overnight success, right?
Never linear.
Exactly. But even with that success, right, they face new challenges. They
Ever.
experienced this hypergrowth and they had to bring on all these new employees.
Yeah, that sounds like a good problem to have, but I bet it comes with its own
Absolutely.
set of headaches.
Right, while trying to, you know, maintain their company culture and deliver value to customers. So it's almost like they had to learn
Right.
how to innovate all over again.
Yeah, I'm sensing a theme here. Like, innovation's not just like a one-time thing.
Right.
It's a
Yeah, it's a
constant
process.
dance between being creative and then also
Absolutely.
having some structure.
And that's what he calls the innovator's dilemma, right? It's that tension between R&D's desire to like constantly create new things and the business need to, you know, make money and stay afloat.
Yeah, I could see how that would especially play out in a company like BrainGoo. I mean,
Yeah.
they're doing cutting-edge cybersecurity stuff, so you constantly have to be
Yeah.
on the bleeding edge.
Right. And Spence really digs into, you know, his own experience with, you know, grappling with this dilemma as CEO.
That's cool that it's not just theoretical.
It's not theoretical. He's really giving you a front row seat
Yeah.
to his, you know, decision-making process.
And that's what I really appreciate so far about the book, is it
Yeah.
just feels very like
Rounded.
grounded and relatable. Like, even if I'm not running a multi-million-dollar tech company, it still feels very relatable.
Absolutely. One of the things that really caught my attention is how they dealt with the sheer volume of ideas they were generating.
Oh, yeah.
Because Spence admits they used to chase every shiny new concept,
Well,
which, you know, spread them way too thin.
you got to prioritize.
Right.
You got to figure out what's.
Yeah, you have to figure out what's actually worth pursuing.
Right.
So that's where this, you know, constrain and collapse framework comes in. It's all about setting boundaries and then systematically narrowing down your options.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that. I will have to unpack
I have a
that.
little bit more.
But the takeaway is even the most innovative companies
Right.
need a structured approach to innovation.
It's not enough to just have a great idea.
Right.
You got to figure out how to actually.
Right. You got to have the process to turn those ideas into something tangible.
Yeah, I'm already starting to see how I could apply this to my own work. I mean, obviously, I'm not developing
Great.
cybersecurity software, but like
That's applicable.
the principles of managing ideas and finding that balance between creativity and structure, that's...
Those are universal.
Yeah, universal.
Absolutely. And that's really just scratching the surface. And we haven't even gotten to his analogy of the chicken dinner.
Oh, now you've got me really curious.
Yeah.
We'll have to circle back to that.
Oh, we definitely will.
Absolutely. So you know how we were talking about how Brengu had to find a way to manage all those ideas they were generating?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned this constraint and collapse thing.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for me a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So imagine like you've had this giant brainstorming session.
Okay.
Right? You've got a whiteboard covered in ideas.
Right.
That's where the constraint part comes in.
Okay. So you're setting some limits.
You're setting limits, right? Because otherwise you'd just be like chasing every idea.
Right. You'd be all over the place.
And not getting very far with any of them.
And that's what happened to them initially. They were just kind of...
Right. They were all over the place. Yeah. And so Spence actually talks about key constraints like time, money, and people.
Those are pretty important, yeah.
Right. You've only got so much of each, so you got to be strategic about how you allocate those resources.
Right. But even then, how do you decide which ideas to focus on?
Right. So that's where collapse comes in.
Okay.
So they actually developed this system where they evaluate ideas using four options. Okay.
Shelf, divest, merge, or diverge?
Can you explain all this? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm following all.
So shelf is for... those ideas that are good, but maybe it's not the right time or the right fit for the company right now.
So you put them on hold, but you don't necessarily like completely get rid of them.
Right. It's like you've got this backlog of potential projects, but you're not letting them distract you from what you're currently focused on.
Right.
Okay. And then there's divest. So this is when you realize that an idea is valuable, but it's not really aligned with your core business.
Okay.
So maybe you sell the intellectual property or you spin it off into a separate company.
So you find a better home for that idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You find a better home for it even if it's not within your own company.
Okay.
And then there's merge.
Okay.
So this happens when you have like multiple teams that are working on similar ideas or projects.
Right.
So by merging them together.
It's more powerful.
It creates a much stronger.
More focused effort.
Like combining all those little rivers into a bigger river.
Exactly. And then finally there's diverge.
Okay.
And this is for those truly game-changing ideas.
Right.
That are so different, they might need a whole new line of business built around them.
Oh, wow. So that's a big.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can definitely be risky.
I bet.
Which is why Spence really emphasizes the importance of like carefully evaluating the potential of the idea.
Right.
And your company's capacity to actually execute it.
That makes sense.
Before you go down that path.
Yeah. It seems like this whole constrain and collapse framework is about finding that sweet spot between like being creative.
Yes.
But also being able to...
Exactly.
Like make smart decisions.
It's that balance between creativity and structure.
Yeah. And he argues that constraints can actually be a catalyst for innovation.
He does.
Which kind of sounds counterintuitive.
It does, right? But if you think about it, he kind of frames it as like constraints are variables in an experiment.
Oh.
So by setting limits, you're actually forcing yourself to get more creative within those boundaries.
I never thought about it that way, but I guess... It's kind of like, I don't know, like if you give a kid a bunch of random materials and say, like, build something.
Right.
Like, it's the limitation that often makes them more creative.
Absolutely. And Spence ties this back to the different stages of innovation.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Remember dream incubate scale?
Yeah. Dream incubate scale.
Right. So in the dream stage, it's all about exploring those possibilities, taking risks. But as you move into incubate and scale,
right,
you need to start applying those constraints.
To make sure it's actually feasible.
To make sure it's actually feasible and sustainable.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about Brengu's rapid growth.
Right after they got that big contract.
Right after they got that contract. So I'm kind of curious how they maintained their innovative culture as they scaled up.
Yeah, because that seems like that would be...
It's a challenge.
A really big challenge.
Yeah. And that's actually something that Spence addresses directly in the book.
Okay.
You know, he talks about how they had to adapt their approach.
Right.
Become more structured, but without losing those core values that made them successful in the first place.
You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. You don't want to lose what got you there.
Yeah.
So he shares some really specific examples of how they did this.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, they formalized their communication channels.
Right.
They created a more robust onboarding process for new employees.
Yeah, that's got to be a big one when you're hiring.
Absolutely. A ton of people.
Yeah. And he stresses the importance of maintaining a culture of psychological safety.
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
You know, he talks about like creating this environment where people feel comfortable taking risks and they're not afraid to fail.
And that's something I've worked in places where it's like people are terrified of making a mistake.
Right.
and it just kills.
It just kills the innovation,
yeah,
all the creativity.
Right. And Spence gives some concrete examples of how they foster that psychological safety.
Okay.
They have a very specific approach to retrospectives, for example,
oh,
where they focus on learning from the mistakes rather than assigning blame.
Oh, that's a key distinction right there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, I think that's really, you know,
yeah,
for innovation, you can't have people coming up with these creative solutions,
yeah,
if they're worried about
getting in trouble.
Exactly. And, you know, I think another thing that was interesting to me was this whole diplomacy first approach that he talks about.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, it's a core part of Brain Goose culture, and it's about approaching problem solving and decision making with empathy and respect.
Okay.
You know, it's about listening to different perspectives.
It's like being a good human.
Right. It's about being a good human and finding solutions that work for everyone involved.
I feel like so many workplace conflicts just come from lack of communication.
Absolutely.
And like understanding.
And Spence argues that this diplomacy first mindset is essential for fostering collaboration and innovation. And he even connects it back to that constrain and collapse framework.
I'm starting to see how all these different pieces kind of...
It all fits together.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just about individual concepts. It's about creating this cohesive system that supports innovation at every level.
Right.
And we're really just scratching the surface here. Wait till we get to his ideas about platform thinking.
Okay.
It's like, whoa.
I'm already hooked. So, so diplomacy first, that's pretty powerful stuff.
It really is. And it kind of makes you think about, you know, how you approach teamwork and collaboration. But you mentioned, you know, Spence's ideas about platform thinking.
Yeah, you said it was like a whole appendix in the book.
Yeah, whole appendix. And it's like, whoa, it blew my mind. He starts with this analogy of building a road.
A road? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that ties into software and innovation.
Yeah. So just hear me out. So he talks about how building a road, it requires more than just paving a path.
Mm-hmm.
You need a vision. Right. You need someone who sees the potential of connecting point A to point B.
Okay.
Even if it seems impossible at first.
So like the visionary, the big picture.
Yeah, the big picture thinker.
Person.
But then you need the people who can actually make it happen.
Right. Like the people who are actually going to.
Right. So you've got the engineers who design the road.
Okay.
The construction workers who lay the foundation.
Right.
The traffic regulators who make sure everything runs smoothly.
Okay.
It's a massive collaborative effort.
Right. It takes a village.
It takes a village. Exactly.
Okay.
And so he connects this to software development.
Okay.
He talks about how, you know, different types of developers benefit from a well-designed platform.
Okay.
Just like different types of vehicles benefit from a well-built road.
Give me an example.
Okay. So he describes like these sports car developers, right?
Yeah.
So those are the ones who are like really agile and innovative.
Oh.
Constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible with code.
So like the race car drivers, always looking for ways to optimize for speed.
Exactly. And then you've got the developers who are more focused on like building these solid, reliable systems.
Okay.
He calls them semi-truck developers.
Yeah.
They're like the long-haul truckers, ensuring that the platform can handle heavy loads.
So it's like you need both.
You need both.
You need the race car drivers and you need the semi-truck drivers.
And it's such a brilliant analogy because it really highlights how a well-designed platform allows for these different types of innovation to coexist and thrive.
Right, because it's giving them that shared foundation, that common ground.
Exactly.
So that they can all build off of each other.
Exactly. And Spence argues that this kind of platform thinking is essential for creating sustainable innovation.
Okay.
Especially in a field as complex as software development.
So what's the big takeaway here for our listeners? Like, what's the one thing they should walk away with after this deep dive?
You know, I think it's, this innovation is not a solo sport. It thrives in this connected and collaborative environment where individuals can build upon the work of others and contribute to this shared vision.
And it's about creating those roads, those platforms that allow us to reach our destination faster and more efficiently.
Absolutely.
And always being willing to learn and grow and
continuously improve.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the real magic of Change the Box. It's not just a business book. It's a guide for anyone who wants to make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah, and I'm definitely putting this on my must-read list.
Me too.
And I have a feeling it's going to spark a lot of interesting conversations and ideas.
Absolutely.
So that's a wrap on this deep dive into Change the Box. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
And remember, never stop exploring, never stop learning, and never stop innovating.
Until next time, keep those ideas flowing.